Hello, everyone. My name is Brian Sparks, and I'm the lead pastor at One Church in Texas. This is the One Church Podcast. Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. I pray that this message encourages you, and that in our time together, you encounter Jesus, and that your life will never be the same.
And so if you got a Bible, turn to Ephesians 5:1, Ephesians 5:1. And I'm excited about this series we've been in. We've been in this series, Who Am I? And the truth is that there is a battle for identity that's going on in the world. You can look at it. It's everywhere, right? There's a battle for identity. And I think one of the most important things we could do as Christians is to know who we are, is to know who we are in Christ and know who we are as Christians. And so I wanted to do this series, and originally I just planned on it being a four-week series, but I'm just still going with it. So I'm just going to keep going because I think it's so important for you to know who you are. And the crazy thing is that as Christians, everybody is tolerant of everybody else's identity unless you identify as a Christian. And so, but that doesn't mean that we should stop identifying and saying, this is who we are. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe in. Amen. Ephesians 5:1, it says, therefore, become imitators of God. Anytime you see a therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. Amen. Therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him and follow his examples as well-beloved children imitate their father. So if you're taking notes today, you can title today's message, I am a follower. I am a follower. Lord, right now, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. Thank you that every ear and hear is open and receptive to hear your word. They didn't come to hear a word from me. They've come to hear a word from you. So Lord, use me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I overheard a couple of weeks ago some of our amazing worship team, and they were talking about food. And of course, I am a lover of food. And so I listened in on the conversation because they were talking about their favorite restaurants, all their favorite restaurants. And so people were going around the room and they were talking about, oh, I love this place and I love that place. And, you know, inevitably, Texas Roadhouse rolls are going to get brought up at some point. Amen. And so there was all these different ones that were having this conversation. And then all of the sudden, an adult woman, I have to preface this with an adult woman on our worship team said, I love CeCe's. And the room just went quiet. And I was like, wait, what'd you just say? So I love CeCe's. And I was like, what? Why do you love CeCe's? Like, there's a lot of great pizza out there, right? Like, why in the world do you love CeCe's? There's so many good restaurants, and I'm so confused. And so I had to dig a little deeper, and I was like, what is it about CeCe's that you love? And it was not their atmosphere. It was not the games. It wasn't the salad bar. It wasn't even the pizza. Come to find out, the reason why she loved CeCe's was for the desserts. Some of y'all, you're like, you better preach, brother. You better preach, right? Like, she loved the desserts. And so she said this, I go to CeCe's whenever I'm feeling like I want to eat some desserts. And I just go there and I don't mess with the salad bar. I don't mess with the pizza. I go straight for the desserts and I just eat desserts until I'm satisfied. And I was amazed by this. In fact, you know, the truth is that's why people like buffets, right? Because we get to pick and choose. You get to decide the things that you like and the things you don't like. You kind of, how many of y'all are like me? You kind of, whenever you get to a buffet, you do a walk around, right? Like you don't want to commit too early, right? Like you gotta make sure. And so you just kind of walk around and then you make a plan and then you execute it, right? Because you want to get the right thing. You don't want to fill up on the wrong thing. You want to get the right thing. And I was thinking about this, and I think that a lot of Christians treat their walk with God like this woman treated CeCe's. Uh-oh, amens went away. That they just want the sweet parts. They just want the delicacies. They just want the good parts. They go there just for one thing. I'm not here for the atmosphere. I'm not here for the vegetables. I'm not even here for what everybody else might think is the main course. I'm here just for the sweet parts. I'm here just for the good parts. I'm here for just the things that I think are good and delicious, and this is what I want. And so many people live their lives not being a follower of Jesus, but just picking and choosing the things that they like about Jesus, the things that they want from Jesus, and they say, well, I'll take a little bit of this, and I'll take a little bit of that, but everything else, I'm going to leave that for somebody else, because somebody, they're putting it out there, but it ain't for me. There's a lot of people that will say that they're Christians, but they choose not to follow the examples or the teachings of Jesus at all. I'm a Christian. You know, you got your little fish symbol on the back of your car, and you're flipping people off. I always told people, I'm like, hey, put a One Church sticker on your car, because then at least they'll know where to find you. The first time that you even hear the word Christian, or the first time the word Christian was used in the biblical form, it was actually in the book of Acts. And it was not something that Christians used to describe themselves. In fact, it was a way that non-Christians, it was a word that non-Christians came up with to describe people who followed the ways and the teachings of Jesus. They were so out there and living such a different life that they were like, we got to come up with a different name. Like, we've got to come up with something that describes these people, because I mean they're out there. They're following the ways and the teachings of Jesus. So we got to figure up with something to describe them and to call them. And so they came up with the word Christian. Back then, being a follower of Jesus didn't just refer to a belief that got you into heaven. It referred to a way of living that changed every single area of your life here on earth. Like, it's not something that I just say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm going to live my life different, and it changes the way that I live here on earth. A young preacher once described being a follower and a disciple of Jesus this way, and I love it. It says, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up the cause of Christ, because I am a disciple of Jesus. See, there's a different way that we're called to live. There's a different way that we're called to act. There's a different way that we're called to be. Being a Christian means more than just changing what I do on Sundays. It means that I change the way I do everything. To be a follower of Jesus means that I follow the way that Jesus did things. In fact, let me say it this way. Being a follower of Jesus means the way means that I follow a way of doing things, not just a way of believing things. So I don't just believe, I do. Being a follower of Jesus means that I serve and I love and I give and I reach and I act, because that's what Jesus did. Most everyone here in Cattle Mills or in Sulphur Springs or online, you would say that I'm convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm convinced of it. In fact, you're here today on a Sunday morning. I'm proud of you for being here on a Sunday morning. You're convinced that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, but the truth is that you can be convinced of something and still not be committed to it. You're like, what are you talking about? I don't know. Okay, I think everybody in here is convinced that eating a healthy diet and exercise is the right way to live. We believe that if you eat healthy and you exercise on a regular basis, it is the best form and the best way for you to live a long and healthy life. Everybody is convinced of that, but not everybody's committed to it. Because some of you are like, I'm convinced that salads are better for you than cheeseburgers, but I'm committed to eating a cheeseburger after service today, right? Like, That's the best and only amen I've ever heard from that guy. I'm just kidding. You're convinced that flossing your teeth twice a day is important. The dentist tells you should floss twice a day. It's good for you to floss your teeth twice a day. But the truth is, we can be convinced of something and not committed to it. Who's got time to floss their teeth that many times a day? Like, we're not doing it. We're convinced that setting a budget and living by a budget is the best thing for our finances. But we can be convinced of it and still not committed to it. Right? And then all of a sudden you find yourself, I've got a budget set and everything's good. And I'm convinced that this is the best way for me to live. This is the best thing for me to do. But then late night shopping. So I'm convinced of something, but I'm not committed to it. I'm convinced that eating healthy is right, but I'm not committed to it. I'm convinced that flossing is good, but I'm not committed to it. I'm convinced that setting a budget is good, but I'm not committed to it. I can be convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that being a follower of Jesus means that I am set apart and that I act different, but I'm not committed to it. Matthew 4, 18 and 20, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Listen, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and," what? "Followed him." Now, every time you see Jesus calling one of his disciples in the Bible, when you begin to read it, you will notice that he walks up to them and he does not say, "Believe in me." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "Hey, change, and then you can follow." He just simply says this, "Follow me, and I will make you." See, so many people get the order wrong. You try to do the making, and you want Jesus to follow you. Uh-oh. But if we want to become true disciples and true followers of Jesus, I just follow him and I know that he will make me into what he's created me to be. If I will do the following, then Jesus will do the making. There's a famous Jewish blessing that people used to say, and they said this, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And what they were, obviously, they didn't have paved roads back then like we have paved roads today. But they would say this, that, and what they were trying to say is, may you follow so closely to the one that's teaching you that the dust from their sandals is upon you. So may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi's sandals. And I would say this, that is the dust of Jesus on you? Are you following so closely to Jesus? Not perfectly. But I'm following closely to Jesus that I look different, that I act different, that the way that Jesus does things is the way that I do things. Does anybody notice? I love what Pastor Crystal said last week. She said, if somebody were to follow you like you follow Christ for a year, would their life look any different? Or would it look exactly the same? See, we're called to be followers of Jesus, to walk after him. When I commit my life to following Jesus, I'm committing to following in his footsteps. I'm committing to walking in his ways. My kids are grown, nearly grown now, but when they were little bitty, we had something we call, we still have these, house rules. Anybody got house rules? You know what I'm talking about? You got house rules. This, as for me and my house, this is the way we do things. This is the way we're gonna act. This is the way we're gonna behave. This is the way we're gonna do things. And when they were little bitty, they were always trying to get out of the house rules. And they would always say, "Well, Becky's mom lets her." Anybody know what I'm talking about? "Well, Becky's mom," and I would always say the dad thing, "I don't care what Becky's mom says." Right? Like, this is the way that we do things in our house. This is the way we behave in our house. This is what we're going to do in our house. There's house rules and there's a way of doing things. And I would say this, that God has some house rules. God has some way of, that's not the way the world does it. Every time we show up, that's not the way everybody else is doing it. God says, I don't care what everybody else is saying. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what's popular. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. My house rules don't change just because culture did. This is the way that we do things. This is the way that we live. In fact, there's a famous sermon that's often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but I do want you to know this, that Jesus is saying, essentially, he's just laying down the house rules, right? And in fact, he all throughout this passage, Jesus says over and over again, you have heard it said, but I say. You have heard it said, but I say. Like, this is Jesus just letting us know, like, you may hear everybody else say one thing, but I'm letting you know this is what I'm saying about the subject. He's laying down some house rules, and he He says this, you have heard it said, don't murder. Good rule. But I say, don't even be angry in your heart. Woo. You have heard it said, don't commit adultery. Another great rule. But I say, don't even lust in your heart for someone. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye. But I say, turn the other cheek. Huh? You've heard it said to love your neighbor and to hate your enemies. Yep. But I say, pray for your enemies. He says this, when you give, don't make a big deal out of it. Do it quietly. He goes on, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And then how about this? Stop worrying about the speck in your brother's eye. Instead, focus on the plank in your own. Like Jesus is laying down the house rules, and this is how we live, and this is what we do, and this is how we behave. And then he goes on, kind of Matthew 7:12, just to sum it all up. He says, so then whatever you desire that others would do and for you, even so do also to and for them. For this sums it all up. So do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the way we often hear it. Jesus' house rules goes against everything that we feel and everything that we want to do as people. Like, I don't know about you, but this like, whenever I hear the house rules of God, there's a lot that I'm sitting back going, man, I don't want to do that. Like, Jesus says, love your enemies. Nah. I'd rather not. I'd rather talk bad about them, bash them on Facebook, talk about them behind their back, gossip about them. Like, that's more fun. Got quiet. Serve others. Nyeh. I'd kind of rather people serve me. Like, I mean, that's more fun. Be generous with your time and your possessions. I'll be generous to myself. Forgive people that have wronged you and hurt you. I think I want to get even with them. And the reason why Jesus is giving us house rules is not just to set up things for us to do. What he's always trying to do is he says this, I'm telling you that if you will follow my ways, if you will build your life on what I'm telling you to build your life will be better for it. Like, I'm not just telling you things to do because I'm just trying to come up with a list of things to do. I'm telling you that when you forgive and you love and you serve, your life is going to be better. Like, your life, everything in your life is going to be better. If you follow in my footsteps and if you follow my ways, you're going to be a better husband or a better wife. You're going to be a better father. You're going to be a better mother. You're going to be a better steward of your finances. You're going to be a better employee or employer, like every area of your life is going to be better, but guess what? You're going to have to follow me. You got to live by my house rules. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that I do what I want to do. It means that I've decided to live a life doing what God's word tells me to do. And again, none of us are going to be perfect. None of us are going to be perfect. You're never going to get there. You're never going to be like, okay, I'm going to achieve this. I'm going to be perfect. Everything's going to be great in my life. Everything's going to be perfect. God hasn't called you to perfection. He's called you to process. And so it's a little bit of change. I always say this, that Crystal is married to a new man every 2 years. Like, because I'm not the same person that I was when we got married. And she would say a big thank God to that. Why? Because I'm letting God work on my life. And so it's not something that just happens instantaneously. It's something that's a process that I walk. As I walk with Jesus, he makes me into what he's created me to be. He wants us to be followers of him, not just picking and choosing. Well, I'll take this part of Jesus. This is the sweet part of Jesus. I like this part where he forgives me. But I'm going to leave the part off where I have to forgive others. And I can't pick and choose. I want to be a follower of Jesus, and so I take the whole buffet. Take it all. Parts I like, parts that are hard. It's all, Jesus is giving it all for my benefit. And so when I follow in his ways, it changes how I live. Three things about becoming a follower of Jesus. The first thing I want you to know is that being a sinner doesn't disqualify you from following Jesus. It's actually a prerequisite. Some of you are like, man, I'm disqualified. I'm too messed up. No, you're not. That's absolutely crazy. The fact that you think that you're too messed up for forgiveness is crazy. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. Come on, somebody say all.
All.
All includes you. All includes me. Every one of us are a sinner. So being a sinner does not disqualify me from being a follower of Jesus. It's actually exactly what qualifies me. I am a sinner and I need a Savior. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The sins in your past have not disqualified you from becoming a follower of Jesus. Can I say this? The sins that you will commit in your future will not disqualify you from being or becoming a follower of Jesus. That Jesus has not disqualified you because of your sins, so why would you? Well, I just can't. I messed up too many times. I made too many mistakes. Jesus didn't disqualify you. Why are you? Jesus loves us between the gap of who we are and who we are called to be. And again, it's a process. It's a process of change. It's a process of walking with him. It's a process of living my life in a different way. Second thing I'd tell you is this, that Jesus didn't come for people that have it all together. He came for people like you and like me. Like, we look around the room and we think, oh, they've got it all together, man. They're perfect. They've got everything about them is perfect. And we look at ourselves and we think, man, I'm too messed up and I've got too many mistakes. Can I just say that we're all crazy? We're just different levels of crazy. We're all messed up. We're just different levels of messed up. You're messed up in a different way than I'm messed up. And Jesus didn't come for the people that have it all together. He came for people like you. He came for people like me. Matthew 2:17, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said to them, those who are healthy have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Listen, what I got to do? All you got to do is recognize that you're a sinner. Recognize that you need a Savior and ask for forgiveness. Like, that's what Jesus came for. He didn't come for perfect people. Get that lie out of your head. Came for people like you. Religion's message has always been this: change and you can follow us. But Jesus came preaching a different message. He said, follow me and you'll change. See, again, I'd say this, that you can get the order wrong. And if you get the order wrong, you're going to be striving in yourself instead of walking in his grace. And when I walk in his grace, I begin to change a little bit at a time. And when I commit to following Jesus, again, it says this. Notice it says in Matthew 4:19, then he said, follow me and I will make you. So I'm just committed to the following, and I'm going to let Jesus do the making. I'm going to just commit to walking in his ways and following him, and I'm going to let Jesus do the making. And some of you are trying so hard, and you've been trying so hard for so long, that I'm going to fix this on my own. I'm going to make myself do this. And I would just say this, that you're probably trying to do the making. And all you have to do is do the following. I'll follow Jesus, and I'm going to let him make me. By his grace, I mess up, I make a mistake, God forgive me. I failed again. God, I pray you'd help me overcome this. Help me get through this. Strengthen me and make me into what you've called me to be. I'm committed to walk in his ways and to follow his example. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I love this passage of scripture, and a lot of people love to pull this out. When you talk to them about, "Hey man, you're like, you're still angry a lot. You're lashing out at your wife or your kids, or you're not acting the right way." "Well, I'm saved by grace, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God." Can I just say this? The verse does not give us permission to live however we want to live. It doesn't even exempt you from bearing fruit that a Christian should bear. Like, it says this, like, we're saved by grace, but when I'm committed to following Jesus, then by grace I'm changed. A little bit at a time. Let me say it this way. Believing in Jesus is how I become a Christian. Following Jesus' example is how I show others that I am one. You're going to get an opportunity to accept Jesus at the end of this service, and that's a moment between you. But guess what? Now then, my life starts to change. And maybe you're out there and you're like, "Man, I've been a Christian for 10 years. I still do the same things. I still live the same way. I still cuss and drink and chew and run with girls that do." And if that's you, you're like, "Man, I'm the same as I've always been." I got great news. You can accept Jesus today. Because again, I'm not called to perfection, but I am called to process. And my life changes a little bit at a time whenever I start following Jesus. Whenever I start walking in his ways and following his example, my life begins to change a little bit at a time. Third thing, being a follower of Jesus means that I start where I am, not where I think I should be. "Well, one of these days, I'll get everything together. Stop doing everything that I shouldn't be doing, and then I'll become..." Start where you are. I love this because when Jesus found his disciples, he found them where they were. He didn't send something like, "Get to this point or get to this place, and then I will maybe give you an invitation." He found them where they were. And Jesus is coming to you today, and he wants to find you exactly where you are. No matter what it is you're struggling with, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you're dealing with, Jesus comes to you and says, "All I want you to do is follow me. You do the following and I'll do the making." He finds you exactly where you are. So I want to ask you three questions. The first question I want to ask you is, being a Christian become just your belief statement, or is it your mission statement? Number two, are you convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Or are you committed to following him? The last question I would ask you, are there any areas of your life where you aren't following Jesus? Like, it's just a buffet. I'll pick the parts that I like and I'll leave the parts that I don't like. Some of you are like, "Man, I've been treating Jesus a little bit like this." And God's been dealing with you about some things, about forgiving people that have hurt you, about serving others, about being generous, about, you fill in the blank. God's been dealing with you and you've been like, "Nah, I'm not going to take that part." But I'm telling you that today Jesus says, "Follow me because I have a better way of living. I have a better way. If you'll just follow me, I'll make you into what I've created you to be all along." There's an old song that we used to sing when I was a kid. It simply said, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." It didn't say, "I've decided to believe in Jesus. I've decided to follow. I'm going to walk in his ways. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. I'm going to walk in his example, and I'm going to do what his word tells me to do." Have you decided to follow Jesus? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around. Maybe you're in this place and you say, "Brian, I don't know Jesus. I've never asked him to be the Lord of my life, but today I want to." This is your first step, friend. Maybe you're here and you say, "Brian, I prayed that prayer. I've asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life, but honestly, I've stopped following. I've stopped walking after him. And today, I'm changing that. Today, I'm rededicating my life to Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to count to three in just a moment, right where you're at. I'm going to ask you to be bold enough to slip your hand up. We're going to pray a prayer together as a church family. And I believe this. If you pray this prayer and you believe it in your heart, your life will never be the same. Today is the day you decide to follow Jesus. That's me. One. Ryan, will you pray with me? Two. Three. Just wherever you are, just lift your hands. See those hands. God loves you, friend. God loves you. See those hands. God loves you. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Can we pray this prayer together as a church family? Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Take my sins, and by your grace, I take your righteousness. I make you the Lord of my life. I give you all that I am. I hold nothing back. In Jesus' name. And everybody who believed it said, amen, amen. Come on, give it up for every person that prayed that prayer. Amen. Will you do me a favor? Stand on your feet, and I just want to declare this. I want y'all to declare it with me. So you're going to see some words that come up on the screen, and it's going to take a little time to get the timing right, but you're going to get it, okay? Are y'all ready? One, two, three. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up the cause of Christ. Come on, declare it. I am a disciple of Jesus. Now give God some praise.
Thank you so much for listening to this message. A special thanks to those who give generously to One Church. It's because of you that lives are being impacted all over the world. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit subscribe for more messages like this. Share this with a friend, post it on social media, and be sure to tag us at I Am One Church. Thanks again for listening.